Oh, I messed that one up good, didn't I? If you're a visitor with us this morning here, we sure love having you, and we sure like to know more about you. And if you would, if you look in the chair in front of you, there should be a pouch with an envelope in it, a card, a pen, and if you could just fill the card out and put that off in our box on the way right of the door on the way out, let us know a little about yourselves. We sure would love to know more about you and maybe get to know you a little bit, maybe give you a call and let you know how much we love having you here. And before I bring Terry up here for announcements, I've got a couple of announcements of my own. Number one, want to start doing a little Christmas music rehearsal up here Sunday mornings, just one or two songs after church. And so if anybody wants to be part of a choir presentation of some Christmas music, you could join us just for, 10, 15 minutes. Not going to be complicated stuff. I can't handle complicated stuff. We'll just be doing nice, simple, straightforward Christmas music. So know that. And also, when I sing specials, I'm not performing. In my view, what I'm trying to do, I'm still leading worship. If you want to sing along with me, if you know the words, don't hesitate to sing along with me when I'm singing. So that's all, Terry.
Be careful what you wish for. I've heard some of these people sing. I just had to say that. Announcements. There's a prayer meeting every Sunday, 9 a.m., back in this little back room over here. You come through, go through this door, and there's another door. Walk back in there. They'll greet you and everything. Anything's on board for prayer, ladies and gentlemen. We can always go to the Father with anything that we need, anything we hope for, anything we ask. He's there to listen to us. Women's Bible study, Tuesday night, 6:30 p.m., right through the same exact room. This door, another door. Women will meet you back in there. I hear it's a good old time. Never been to one of those things. The men, if you want to come up here and talk, I think Ray's usually sitting up front in here. So the men can, sit in here and discuss how to fix the world's problems within about an hour. We're really good at that. Wednesday night Bible study or service. It's in the main sanctuary here, 6 o'clock p.m. every Wednesday night. Everyone is welcome. Please come. There's a water baptism thing coming soon. If you wish to be water baptized, you can talk to one of the myself. You can talk to the pastor. You can talk to Wesley, Wes, just about any one of these old-looking gentlemen around here, and they can help you out. The older, the better, usually. Love gifts for Freddie Coyle. There's a box back on the back that, if y'all don't know about Freddie Coyle, he is, fighting cancer this time, brain cancer. He has, went through some surgery and he's actually out doing some teaching and everything right now. So God is good and prayers for him, of course, continually prayer. And if you wish to give monetarily, there's something back there to give it to. Just to let y'all know, y'all been praying for the children that I've been had in my house. The court decided that they were going to go back to their parents as of Tuesday, and they come down to pick them up. My prayer is that God will continually use whatever I taught them or we were able to teach them. They love coming here. Continue to pray for them. They need everything they can. They need God's love in their life, as we all do. And we need to pray that they continue to grow in the grace and knowledge. They love being here. And I'm, God takes and each one of us plants little seeds, do we not? Each one of us plants little seeds with whoever we meet. But we don't bring on the growth, do we? We are seed planters. We are ambassadors for Christ. It's our job to tell people who Christ is. And it's the Holy Spirit's job to grow that within them. Okay, so continually plant seeds. I know that seeds were planted, and I know that God does what he says he's going to do, and the Holy Spirit will move within these children, and our prayer is that they decide that Christ is the way to go. I told the two oldest ones, whenever they kept asking me, they were saying, "Uncle Terry, why do we have to go to church?" And I said, well, the first thing I said is because I'm Uncle Terry and I told you so. You know, I'm authoritarian. That's what I do. If I say something's going to happen, it's going to happen, at least within my aspect of my authority. But then I after that first night, I set them down in the back because of that patio furniture. I set the two oldest ones down. I said, now, y'all asked me, I said, why do y'all have to go to church? I said, first off, because I told you to. Y'all will do what y'all was told to in my house. That's the rules. But second, I'm going to be with y'all but a little time, it looks like. And that time we thought it was going to be about a year. But evidently, other people had other thinkings on that. But I told them, I said, whenever everybody must give account to themselves in the end. And if you are a believer, it's called the Bema Seat Judgment, where you give to Christ the account for what you do within the body. But if you're a non-believer, you go to what they call the Great White Throne Judgment. And at that particular time, they will not be able to say to the God that I did not know who Jesus Christ was. My job is, and your job is, to give people the knowledge they need to make a decision. It's the Holy Spirit's job to draw them to God. But in the end, it's each individual's job as to whether they're going to accept the finished work of the cross for their salvation. And our prayer is that those people that we tell about it, the Holy Spirit moves them and they do accept and they do believe. Because it opens up a more broadened world that you would never believe. So let's go to the Lord in prayer. Dear Father, we thank you so very much for the ability, or we thank you so very much for the chance to tell people exactly who you are, how that some 2,000 years ago that you devised a way by sending your own son to live as a man for 33 years, to willingly give himself up on a cross for a bunch of people that did not deserve it, to die on that cross as the sacrificial sacrifice for something that we could not do. He died on the cross for us in our place, because the rightful sentence for each one of us is death, because we have violated your rules, your laws. We have desecrated who you are. But you gave us a way out. And that way out was your son coming and dying on a cross in our place. Father, we thank you for that. We love you for that. We don't deem to understand why you would do that for such a despicable people. But we know out of your love that you chose to do it that way. He died on a cross. He was buried in the earth for 3 days. And then when they went to properly fix the body, to properly anoint the body wasn't there anymore. He was risen. And whenever he rose from the dead, that was your sign saying that this sacrifice was acceptable to you. And Father, we simply get to you today by trusting that that sacrifice that your son gave for us on that particular time, and simple belief in that trust. Father, we ask that you would give us the ability to tell more and more people exactly who you are and what you have done for us. Father, we ask that as we go through this day, that you would put people in our ways, put people in our lives, and take and use us for your purposes and however you would do that. And let us get out of our own ways and always be willing to tell people exactly who you are. Be with Freddie Cole as he's walking through this terrible time in life when he's suffering through such a devastating medical issue. But Father, we know there's nothing out there that's too big for you. There's nothing out there that God cannot handle. And we ask that you would move within the aspects of that, and you would bring him back to us as stronger than ever, being the righteous teacher that you have him being. Be with Mike as he brings our message, because it's not an easy thing, Father, and I know that Mike takes it seriously. And be with us and use the Holy Spirit to make us to make us understand the message that you would have us learn. Be with Wesley as he preps for next week's sermon. Father, this is a big step for a young man. We know that he is capable of doing it, and we know that he trusts within you. So be with him as he does his preparation for that. And use the Holy Spirit to grow each and every one of us as we walk through this day. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Our reading today is from Daniel 4:28 through 37. Daniel 4:28 through 37. And you can go to page 821 in your Bibles and you can find that. Daniel 4:28 through 37. All this came upon the king Nebuchadnezzar. At the end of the 12 months, he walked in the palace of the kingdom of Babylon. The king spake and said, "Is not this great Babylon that I have built for the house of the kingdom by the might of my power for the honor of my majesty?" While the word was in the king's mouth, there fell a voice from heaven saying, "O King Nebuchadnezzar, to thee is it is spoken, the kingdom is departed from thee, and they shall drive thee from man, and thy dwelling shall be with the beast of the field. They shall make thee to eat grass as oxen, and seven times shall pass over thee until thou know that the Most High ruleth in the kingdom of man and giveth it to whomsoever he will." The same hour was the thing fulfilled upon Nebuchadnezzar, and he was driven from man and did eat grass as oxen, and his body was wet with the dew of heaven till his hairs were grown like eagle's feathers and his nails like bird's claws. And the end of the days, I, Nebuchadnezzar, lifted up mine eyes unto the heaven, and mine understanding returned unto me, and I blessed the Most High, and I praised and honored him that liveth forever, whose dominion is everlasting dominion, and his kingdom is from generation to generation. And all the inhabitants of the earth are reputed as nothing, and he doeth according to his will in the army of heaven and among the inhabitants of the earth, and none can stay his hand or say unto him, "What hast thou, or what doest thou?" At the same time, my reason returned unto me, and for the glory of my kingdom, mine honor and my brightness returned unto me, and my counselors and my lords sought unto me, and I was established in my kingdom. An excellent majesty was added unto me. Now I, Nebuchadnezzar, praise and extol the honor, the King of heaven, whose works are truth, his ways judgment, and those who walk in his pride, he is able to abase.
You'll have to pardon me. little more on Freddie this morning. That's a little bit rich. A little more on Freddie this morning. I mentioned he's in Maine speaking. He'll be coming back to Georgia, he and his family, and then we'll be having a fall retreat next week. So pray for the man. He is he's a driven man, and he is a servant of the gospel. It's good to look out and see everybody that's here this morning. If you missed yesterday's memorial service, let me say that you missed a neat time, a good time. The Lord worked yesterday in the life of many of those that were here, and many indicated they were trusting Christ as Savior. We need to pray for those new believers. We need to pray and ask God to ward off the attack of Satan in their lives and in their minds, because after people trust Christ as their personal Savior, Satan is at work. So we need to remember to pray for them. And if you would join me in doing that, I would appreciate that very much. One Sunday morning, an elderly lady approached the local church and was greeted there by a young greeter. He was a trainee, and so he greeted this elderly lady, helped her up the steps and into the auditorium, and started guiding her to a place to sit. And he asked her, he said, "Where would you like to sit today?" She said, "I want to sit on the front row." And it sort of took him back, and he said, "Oh, no, ma'am." He said, "I really don't think you want to sit on the front row." He said, "You know, our pastor, he's really boring." And said, "He sometimes spits when he speaks." And said, "You really don't want to sit up there." And she said, "Do you know who I am?" He said, "No, ma'am." She said, I am the pastor's mother." He said, "Oh." He said, "Do you know who I am?" She says, "No." He says, "Good." And so, does 180 and heads in the other direction. It's good to hear laughter in the house of the Lord. Let's pray. Father, we come to you this morning. We thank you so much for those who indicated yesterday they were trusting you and what you've done for them to get them to heaven. And Father, we know that Jerry Parrish is in your presence this morning. Been there, Father, for some time now. But Father, what a glorious time that there must have been in heaven yesterday, as those who raised their hand indicating they were trusting you the best way they knew how to get to heaven. So, Father, we ask that you would bless them extra special good as they continue on in their walk with you now, a new experience. Father, a time in which Satan will begin his attack and discouragement in their lives. None of us who know you as our personal Savior have escaped those times in our lives. And yet, Father, you promise in your word to care for us, to meet our needs, to be our all in all. Father, we thank you for that. Guide our thoughts, our study this morning. We ask these things in Christ's name. Amen. We looked last week in the book of Daniel, and we are in the fourth chapter of Daniel, got almost all the way through that, and we're coming up on the fifth chapter of Daniel, which varies somewhat from the first four. Nebuchadnezzar is not on the scene in Daniel chapter 5, he's passed on. But we want to finish up on chapter 4. It's not a lot of material to cover this morning. And if I hear an amen, I'm going to call you down. But there's not a whole lot to cover this morning. But what we want to do is we want to finish up on chapter 4 this morning and then save chapter 5 until the child bride and I return from Georgia. And I don't know why I said Florida, but return from Georgia, and we'll jump right into Daniel chapter 5 at that time. But we had read to us this morning Daniel chapter 4, verses 28 through 37. And Daniel 28, chapter 4, verse 28, begins with this. All this came upon the king Nebuchadnezzar. All of this. You see, Nebuchadnezzar had been a very proud king. If we were to describe his problems he had as a ruler, was he had a big ego. He loved Nebuchadnezzar. He loved the pomp, the ceremony, the obedience, the position he had. And God began to deal with Nebuchadnezzar because he had a message he wanted to share. And we found that Nebuchadnezzar had a propensity to dream, dreams. Not one, but it seemed many dreams. The first dream he had, he couldn't remember the dream. He didn't know the interpretation. Daniel came to his rescue, as we all have heard, and he explained the dream to Nebuchadnezzar. He explained the meaning of the dream, and Nebuchadnezzar seemingly was satisfied. And he then made Daniel a very important part of his ruling group of men, as well as the other three Hebrew boys or young men that was there in captivity with Daniel. And then we find that Daniel, we read that Nebuchadnezzar erected a huge gold statue to himself. And he wanted everybody to bow down and to worship. Now, this is the same Nebuchadnezzar who had his dream earlier, didn't know anything at all about it, and Daniel and his commitment to the Lord God explained that dream to him. Daniel was out of the vicinity of where Nebuchadnezzar was at. And we find that Nebuchadnezzar commanded all within the sound of his voice when they heard the music play to bow down and worship his image, the gold image, the one that he had erected to himself. And those that didn't would be cast into the fiery furnace. And we find then that those three Hebrew young men, Daniel out of the vicinity evidently, they were cast into the burning fiery furnace and came out alive without even the smell of smoke on them. The ropes were burned off of their arms and their hands, but there was no smell of smoke on those young men. Nebuchadnezzar, apparently, as we saw, realized his mistake. And he gave evidence to the fact, verbally, of who God was and is. Today we find, as we look into this fourth chapter, that Nebuchadnezzar has had a decree, if you would, from God, that he would be taken out of his place of authority and he would roam the fields, if you would, and eat the grass as the beast of the field ate the grass. He would be wet by the dew that comes in the middle of the night, forms in the middle of the night. He would be wet with that. And he would be in this deplorable condition. When all of his advisors had departed from him, probably many of them ridiculing him and his situation, he would be in that situation for 7 years. God had a plan for Nebuchadnezzar. God knows the end from the beginning because he declares the end of, and the beginning. Nebuchadnezzar was in God's care. God had a reason for dealing with Nebuchadnezzar. Nebuchadnezzar had a problem. He could not understand the sovereignty of God. And so we find here in Daniel chapter 4, the latter verses of chapter 4, that Nebuchadnezzar had all of these things that Daniel had predicted against him in the last dream that he had of being cast out of his own reign there in Babylon into the hillsides and the grasslands around. And there he was to be as the beast in the field for 7 years. And at the end of 12 months in the palace and kingdom of Babylon, the king spake. He had still, before going into this, if you would, experience that God had for him, he had a lesson to learn. God knew. I'm convinced that God loved Nebuchadnezzar. In our walks with the Lord, in our own personal lives, we see things going on around us. People who maybe have misconstrued, people who maybe have designed, if you would, a lifestyle that's not in accordance with in the Word of God. They live this openly before the world around them. God loves them. God loved us before we trusted Christ as our personal Savior. God, I'm convinced, loved Nebuchadnezzar. And God had a purpose for Nebuchadnezzar and his existence. With all of his ego, with all of his pride, in all of his self-glorification, God had a reason for Nebuchadnezzar. He had a purpose. He had a use for Nebuchadnezzar. And Daniel had explained this last dream that Nebuchadnezzar had had. And he told him how it was going to end. He would be cast out of his reign. This regime, if you would, his reign, was described as a large tree with its boughs and limbs covering his entire kingdom. And in it was the fruit by which those in his kingdom was fed. The boughs of the tree housed the birds, the grass fed the animals. You see, Daniel explained it all. And he said this was to come upon King Nebuchadnezzar. We don't find a whole lot here as to, in the interim, before the latter part of chapter 4, we don't find a whole lot about how Nebuchadnezzar responded. It seems like that he responded a little bit differently before he was actually cast out of his reign for these 7 years. It seems almost as if Nebuchadnezzar accepted that as his fate. What was God going to accomplish? It's almost as if Nebuchadnezzar, in the earlier verses of chapter 4, accepted this fate. He was resigned to it. He was willing to wait and to see if all of these things came to pass. And we find here in the early part of the verses that we read, chapter 4, verse 28, all this came upon King Nebuchadnezzar. That's an encapsulation, if you would, of all of the things that were to follow. Just exactly what Daniel said would happen. And it all began to transpire after 12 months following Daniel's explanation of his dream. At the end of 12 months, he, Nebuchadnezzar, walked in the palace of the kingdom of Babylon. The king spake and said, "Is this or is not this great Babylon that I built for the house of the kingdom by the might of my power and for the honor of my majesty?" You see, Nebuchadnezzar has failed up to this point to realize, to comprehend, to take in, to digest that he was where he was. He had the power that he had. He had the luxury that he enjoyed. Not because of any effort of his own, but because God blessed him in that way. Nebuchadnezzar had not learned his lesson yet. Three different times specifically, Nebuchadnezzar had been instructed by God. These times, it seemed like, up to this point, had made no impression, visible impression, upon Nebuchadnezzar. But after Daniel had given him the meaning of his last dream, it said, after 12 months, the king spake, and he had this grandiose recitation of who he thought he was, the things that he thought he had accomplished. And he heard a voice, the voice of God Almighty. God's word says that there fell a voice from heaven. While Nebuchadnezzar was in the midst of bragging on himself, a voice of heaven, from heaven. And it said, God said, "O King Nebuchadnezzar, to thee it is spoken, the kingdom is departed from thee. And they shall drive thee from men. Thy dwelling shall be with the beast of the field. They shall make thee to eat grass as oxen. And 7 times or years shall pass over thee, until thou know that the Most High ruleth in the kingdom of men, and giveth giveth it to whomsoever he will. The same hour was this thing fulfilled upon Nebuchadnezzar, and he was driven from men. He did eat the grass as oxen. His body was wet with the dew of heaven, till his hair were grown like eagle's feathers, his nails were like bird claws. At the end of the days, I, Nebuchadnezzar, lifted up mine eyes into heaven, and my understanding returned unto me. It seems like it took all of these things to happen upon or happen to King Nebuchadnezzar for him to come to that conclusion. In all honesty, sort of reminds me in my own walk how God is merciful, has been merciful, how God has blessed, how God has instructed, how God has guided, how God has enabled many of us in our walk with Him. You see, what is demonstrated here by ink and on paper, it's what I'm convinced that all of us have experienced in our own daily walk with the Lord. Experiencing God's love, but also experiencing God's, should I say, readjustments to our way of thinking, causing us to have hard times in our life. That's one of the ways that God leads us and directs us. He enables us through His encouragement. But there are times that we, as God's children, need these kinds of attitude adjustments that Nebuchadnezzar went. And it says, at the end of the days, that's the 7 years, I, Nebuchadnezzar, lifted up mine eyes into heaven, and mine understanding returned unto me, and I blessed the Most High. He had learned his lesson. He realized who God really is. He is in control of all things. I praised and honored him that liveth forever, whose dominion is an everlasting dominion. His kingdom is from generation to generation, and all the inhabitants of the earth are reputed as nothing. You see, Nebuchadnezzar saw himself, realized what he had gone through, realized who God was. That ever happened to you? Sometimes it takes difficult things in our lives to bring us into, if you would, lockstep with God in our walk with Him. He said, and I praised and honored Him that liveth forever and ever, whose dominion is an everlasting dominion, His kingdom is from generation to generation. All the inhabitants of the earth are reputed as nothing. He doeth according to his will in the army of heaven and amongst the inhabitants of the earth, and none can stay his hand or say unto him, what doest thou? At the same time, my reason returned unto me, and for the glory of my kingdom, mine honor and brightness returned unto me, and my counselors and my lords sought unto me. And I was established in my kingdom, and excellent majesty was added unto me. Now I, Nebuchadnezzar, praise, extol, and honor the King of heaven, all whose works are truth and his ways. You You've been through those rough spots in your life. I have. But God is good. God is just. God is loving. And He brings us through as His children because He has a purpose for each one of us. Nebuchadnezzar went on to say that God is able to abase those who walk in pride. As I look at Nebuchadnezzar at this point in Scripture, I didn't see Nebuchadnezzar rage or scream or holler or, oh, pitiful me, I've been 7 years out here in the wild living like an animal. He didn't say that. He didn't comment to that. It was as if he willingly realized that God meant it for good. It seems like he was willing to endure those 7 years under adverse conditions that we probably can't imagine. It was a willingness. Has God ever in your life, as He has in mine, made us willing through a difficult time in life? Could take the shape of anything, really. Any situation, really. Could be any number of things. But you know, as I have seen through the years of my life, I have found that God is able to make us willing, obedient, and joyous in our walk with Him. As I thought about it and thought of my life as I read these things and looked at them over the weeks, I had to come to the conclusion where I had to say to God Himself and to me, what a wonderful God we serve. What a good God we have as our Heavenly Father. The things that we have endured through the tough times, maybe uncalled for, unfounded accusations, attacks, difficult in our walk, God has a purpose. I don't know what your situation is this morning. I don't know what you've gone through. I don't know where you are in this time of testing. But I know one thing. God loves you. God has a purpose for your life. God has a promise to you. I'll never leave you nor forsake you. What God has promised to us as His children, I'm glad to be able to say to this morning that He is also able to perform to His honor and glory. To be your Heavenly Father to the extent that we allow Him to be. And when that is not the case, He in loving kindness and loving direction, He changes our course, our walk with Him. And so we find here that 1 year after Daniel had interpreted the king's dreams, Nebuchadnezzar walked in the palace of the kingdom of Babylon, being prideful. 7 years later, he bowed in his subjection to his Heavenly Father. His ego was deflated. He was malleable and willing to be formed. As we look around us and we see the attacks upon God's chosen people, Israel, and as I looked through the news reports, 5,000 missiles were directed at Israel. Difficult times. But God has a purpose for His people. God has a purpose for us as His children. Our purpose and our responsibility is to discern what His purpose is and to follow in faith and obedience. Nebuchadnezzar was driven from mankind into lonely solitude for 7 years, and yet he came forth and was a greater king following that experience than he was before. His dream pictured the stump being restored, being saved, and once again, sheltering, protection, supply of food and raiment for those under his dominion. His reasoning returned along with all of his friends and counselors. My friends, I've learned that the true way up in our walk with the Lord is through humility. It's God who promotes. It's God who demotes. God will always lift up those who make themselves low. If we could just grab a hold and claim as our own that fact, He always lifts up those who make themselves low. God exalts the humble. Nebuchadnezzar's words lead us to believe that he became a true believer and a follower in the God of in Daniel's God and in the God of Israel. Let's pray. Father, we come to you this morning. Thank you so much for grace. Thank you so much for your loving kindness. Thank you, Father, for the things that you have allowed us to go through in our walk with you, that we might come to the same realization that Nebuchadnezzar did, and that you're in control of all things. Father, that you resist the proud. You elevate the humble. You give grace to those who are in need of grace. You give eternal life to all of those who trust you and what you've done for them to get them to heaven. Father, thank you for your word and for who you are. We ask these things in Christ's name. Amen.
Well, if you need to, you can open the number 394.